You may be right. I'm usually wrong.
No, the next line is, you may be right. I may be crazy.
I didn't choose to use that line.
You opted out of that one?
Yep.
All right. It's Bill and it's Wendy. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's Thursday. Thrilled that you're listening. Want to reach us? Why not? 312-981-7200. For those of you who missed the crosstalk, and we're putting together a boxed set of all of our greatest crosstalks with Steve. It should be available for holiday purchase. Wendy and her family attended last night's Blackhawks game, but you somehow missed all of the magical moments of the game.
I'm telling you, I suck. My timing could not be worse.
Well, you know when you go to the bathroom, you run the risk of missing something.
Well, I know, but
you didn't want to wait until between periods to use the restroom?
You know, once you break the seal after having a couple beers, it's like, got to go to the restroom.
Sure.
And, yes, I missed the first two goals. I saw the third one.
Oh, well.
And I did say before the game, we talked to Brent Sopel yesterday, and it's like, we got to do something with the power play, and Jonathan Toews has got to start scoring goals. He has not been on fire lately. And
no.
I said, I have a feeling Taser's going to score tonight. This was before the game started, and he did.
Stole it.
I missed it, but he did it.
So they scored. There was a period where they scored two goals in
like 20
under a
seconds.
Minute. Yeah, 20 seconds, right?
Yeah,
you were
in
away
the bathroom,
for that.
Flushed.
And then the family got to be on the Jumbotron. You missed that.
Yeah.
Did they wait for you to leave before anything would happen?
Jim motioned to the cameraman because he walked right up to them, right in their faces. And then I came back and they're like, we were just on the Jumbotron. I'm like, good for you.
Yes. You could have been famous.
I don't care.
That leads to fame and fortune, that Jumbotron.
We were planning the Kiss Cam because that's at every sporting event. So Jim and I were trying to come up with some way to do something different if we were ever featured on the Kiss Cam.
What did you come up with?
Well, we were thinking, you know, maybe we'll just toast our beers and just chug the beers.
Oh.
And then Michael said, well, everyone will boo you if you don't kiss.
Oh, yeah, yeah, true.
I'm like, all right, good point. So maybe we'll interlock arms. And I said, no, we can't do that because we'll end up spilling on each other. So thankfully we weren't on the Kiss Cam. But don't you want to do something different if you're ever on the Kiss Cam?
If I'm on the Kiss Cam, you don't want to do what everyone else is doing. There was a guy last week, an older gentleman, who just jumped on his wife during the Kiss Cam and the crowd went nuts.
There was a guy who did that last night too.
Did he?
Yeah. An older man, and good for him.
Right. I think if you're watching that and you see an older couple engaging in that, you say to yourself, well, that's fine. They've earned it. But if it was a young couple who did it, people would be up in arms.
Right.
You can't be. This is a
no
family.
No groping.
No, please.
I just love watching the Jumbotron because it just cracks me up when people are on it and they don't realize they're on it.
But for people who don't understand, the camera, even though it looks like people are surprised by it, you know it's there because the camera is not that far away from you. It's not like they're shooting you from across the rink. They're just like a row or two in front of you.
I don't know.
Really?
I don't know how it works.
I see people pretend to be surprised, but they knew the camera was there.
Oh, I saw two people last night that had no idea that they were. Yeah. I think they can just zoom in from all over the place.
Even during that?
I think.
The Kiss Cam?
Yeah, and this was just the regular, you know, freeze frame or something where they show people. It's just fun for me.
Yeah.
It's really a good time to go to live sporting events,
mainly hockey. Well,
I got to tell you.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah, but they won, so I brought them luck. If you'd like me to go to your team sporting events and use the restroom, I will gladly oblige.
Your team will win then.
Yep. That's how it works.
Last night, after the Houston Astros won the World Series and upset a lot of people.
You.
Me.
I think it's good for Houston. They need something good.
One of the players on the Astros, Carlos Correa, then proposed to his girlfriend right there on live TV.
Did she say yes, I hope?
You know, she didn't really say yes.
What?
They're going to get married, but she was so taken by the moment that as he proposed, she was kind of crying.
She was overwhelmed.
She was very overwhelmed.
I mean, it was all positive.
Right. Oh,
what if they would have lost? Would she have said no?
Well, he wouldn't have had the opportunity to have proposed because they would have talked to the Dodgers. And Yasiel Puig would have then
licked her.
Asked her. He would have first licked her.
You know, his house got broken into again last night.
Again?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Because they know he's not home. So it's easy pickings at the Puig house. That's terrible.
Yeah,
was there anything left
after
the first break-in?
Well, I just looked at it barely. But
well,
yeah,
that's bad luck.
It was during Game 7. They broke a window, took some items out of the house, it says.
Oh, that's not fair.
Giant wax tongues.
That's what he collects.
The Rolling Stones logo.
Huge, and, right, right.
In March, he lost $170,000 in jewelry during the break-in.
He wears that in, during the game sometimes.
No man should have that much jewelry. Can I just say that?
One man, Sammy.
Yeah.
Sammy and maybe Liberace.
All right.
In his prime.
I'll give you two.
But that's the list. There's nobody after that.
And why?
He wears it during the game, too. Sometimes you'll see him, and he'll be decked out in a lot of gemstones.
I don't think they should allow any jewelry during baseball games. Everybody's got the big, thick necklaces, the chains.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be wearing any jewelry.
Well, it weighs you down.
Well, because, you know, what if there's if two people are going for the ball and somebody's finger gets caught in the necklace? That's why we could never wear jewelry when we played basketball in high school.
Well, then you should wear mittens so you don't poke someone's eye out.
All right. I will.
Who's the girl with the mittens? Wendy Snyder. She changed the game forever.
Would have been a routine catch last year.
but because of the mittens.
Mitten ball. They have pickleball in all the high schools. Why not mitten ball?
I think I've heard crazier ideas. All right, one other thing that I need to address. Every month, it seems, is something awareness month, right? We've noticed this, and oftentimes we have guests on to talk about it, and it's usually very important issues. I have twice given myself the worst paper cuts that I've ever had, back-to-back days.
Same place?
Same exact place on the side of my finger. Like, not just like a paper cut, but it looks like I was cut with a saber. It looks like somebody with a saber sliced into my finger.
Where?
And
let
it's
me
from,
see.
Oh, you can't see it now. I cleaned it out. I had to clean it out so it wouldn't be infected. And I'm wearing mittens in case a basketball game breaks out. And then Jasmine today, our producer, lets out a blood-curdling scream because she got a paper cut, and she said that somebody she talked to upstairs also got them. Why all of a sudden in November is everybody coming down with paper cuts? What's going on?
As it gets colder, the paper becomes more brittle and sharp on its
more
edges.
More sharp? Is
actually,
that what it is?
Steve's not too far off here. Your skin becomes much more dry.
Is that what it is?
I was just about to say that, too. My skin is like really, really dry. So I think that's why I got a paper cut today.
I didn't have one for a year, and then you were witness to at least one of them, and maybe both of them.
You looked like a girl.
I screamed like a little girl.
But is that something you're aware of? It's been a year since I had a paper cut.
Well, I keep track, Steve.
He's got a calendar.
I chart it.
How many days since the last paper cut?
I have the 2K's paper cut calendar, which is a lovely Christmas gift, and I keep tabs. And it's been about a year since my last one. And then the other day, you heard me. You heard the aftermath.
But his mannerisms were like someone just blew his skirt up. I can't even describe it other than you were like, owie, ow.
I didn't say owie.
Maybe you
didn't.
I didn't say owie, but I did.
You
were very animated.
It
hurts.
It's insane that a piece of paper could cause that much pain.
Do you know what's way worse?
Uh-uh.
I order a lot of stuff from Amazon. In fact, I'm waiting on two pairs of shoes I cannot wait to get.
Uh-huh.
And when I open up the box, did you ever have a paper cut from corrugated? Because
no.
That is bigger and worser. It's like a paper cut, but you're opening the box and it's cardboard. That hurts.
That would be bad.
Did you ever lick an envelope and get a paper cut on your tongue?
No.
What, you have self-adhesive envelopes?
No, I don't have that, but I
you have someone else licking them?
Yeah.
For you?
Yasiel Puig.
And the Doublemint twins are in the house today.
Steve and I rehearsed that all morning. I'm glad it paid off. All right,
we weren't sure what moment, but
we knew it was coming.
Yeah.
We knew. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then there's a lot more show. It's Phil and Wendy on WGN. You seem surprised by the chicken part.
I like chicken parts.
It seems shocking to you. Do you remember, hi everybody, it's Bill and Wendy. Do you remember a while ago, several years ago, boy, it can't be 10 years ago, can it?
I bet it is.
All right. There was a video that everybody loved called Charlie Bit My Finger. Did you ever see this?
No.
It's two little boys in Great Britain. I would say, I'm guessing their ages, but probably 3 and 1. Charlie was the baby. And the little boys were sitting next to each other, and one of the little boys, the oldest, would hold his finger out, and Charlie would bite it, and then he would say, Charlie bit my finger. And it was beautiful, and millions of people watched it. I know it's when you hear it, well, we have some audio. This is a little bit of Charlie Bit My Finger, which was all the rage about 7 or 8 years ago.
Charlie bit my he bit me.
That's all you get is two little boys, two little British boys, brothers, and one of them keeps biting the other one's finger.
But here's the thing. The kid keeps putting his finger in Charlie's mouth.
Yes. Absolutely right.
It's pretty adorable.
Absolutely right. And I think the difference between British kids and American kids are the British kid, the older brother, just kind of let it happen. He didn't stop. Charlie would bite his finger. He'd take it out. He'd hold his finger out again, and Charlie would continue to bite it. In America, I believe the kids would have had a much more violent finish.
Yes, after one bite, right. Charlie would have had a black eye.
Right. There's no question. The older brother would have tried to unscrew Charlie's head. Something horrible would have happened. But in England, they're much more tolerant and almost amused by it. Charlie, you know, he's like scolding him.
Please watch the video. I just saw it. And the funny thing is, as the big kid, the non-Charlie kid,
yeah.
is getting his finger bitten and starts to cry at one point,
yeah.
Charlie looks back at him and laughs.
He enjoyed it.
It was great.
Charlie enjoyed the pain he was giving to his older brother. So this was a big hit 7 or 8 years ago. I can't even guess how many millions of people watched it. But, you know, it was one of the what they call the viral videos. Everybody loved it. So guess who was a fan of this? Osama bin Laden.
Excuse me?
They just cleaned out, you know, Osama himself is no longer with us. But they're cleaning out his effects. And they found a bunch of tapes. And one of the tapes that Osama bin Laden had was a tape of what we just played for you, Charlie Bit My Finger. So the most one of the most evil men in history still enjoyed a good laugh from time to time.
That might be the day we actually got him. His guard was right. let down.
Right.
There are 854 million views on this.
854 million.
975-881. I don't even know numbers that big. That's 854 million,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah. That's worldwide.
And they found a tape, or they found it on his computer? Because if they found a tape, then he videotaped it, and that's even weirder.
Here's the story. When Osama bin Laden wasn't planning terrorist attacks such as 9/11, he was apparently watching YouTube videos like Charlie Bit My Finger. And that shocks Howard Davies Carr, who filmed his young son Charlie biting the finger of his other brother Harry in the legendary 2007 viral video. Wow, it's 10 years ago already. Turns out that Charlie Bit My Finger was one of the many videos that Navy SEALs found in bin Laden's collection when they stormed his compound in Pakistan on May the 2nd, 2011. This according to a CIA press release. Davies Carr, that's the father, filmed the 55-second video back in May of 2007 just to capture a moment in their lives. He uploaded it only after reviewing it and finding it funny. It struck a chord with many, ultimately receiving more than 854 million views. But Davies Carr told Huffington Post exclusively that he had no idea one of the viewers might be the mastermind of one of the worst terrorist attacks on American soil. I don't know quite how to react, Davies Carr said. When contacted by phone in his home in London, it's very hard to take. You can never tell who has a lighter side. Do you think when you think of Osama bin Laden, do you ever ask yourself, I imagine there must be a lighter side to this man. What could it possibly be? What would make him chuckle? And it's one little British boy biting the finger of his brother.
Wouldn't that freak you out?
Yes.
I mean, we all want notoriety, pretty much. We all want attention.
I guess.
But not of that man.
No.
Wouldn't you freak knowing that Osama bin Laden had seen videos of your daughters?
Well, the mother goes on later in the story to say that it worried her because this was a guy, his calling card was evil. What can I do to screw people up? So the mother's wondering, was he watching this thinking he could do something horrible to the boys? I am a much more innocent person, likes to believe he just every once in a while, as evil as he was, liked to laugh at things, and this made him laugh for some weird reason.
Yeah, but he's Osama bin Laden. He could have found these guys, these little brothers, and brought them to him and said, do it live.
Right. I want to see it here in my palace,
right.
in my cave. He didn't have a palace right. anymore at the end. He just had a cave. Let's see it, a cave side. I want to see it here.
They also found Tom and Jerry.
You like Tom and Jerry?
Crocheting instructions.
Now that I could see.
And Jackie Chan films. That kills me.
He has kind of a wide variety of things that entertain him. Like most of us have a certain an arrow that points in a direction. Osama bin Laden, not really.
All over the board.
Everywhere.
Wow.
So, all right, again, let's say you're Jackie Chan and you find that out. I mean, it's always nice to have people admire your work, but when you find out it's Osama bin Laden, don't you just go, I kind of prefer that he didn't watch my films. The Charlie biting the finger thing I could see from Jackie Chan. I go, yeah, that's funny no matter who you are, where
those
you are.
Those are funnier than me. Right. Jackie Chan. Celebrity voice impersonator.
Right.
They also found lots of pornography.
Yeah, that I knew. That came out immediately. Do you remember that story came out immediately?
I remember hearing
that.
He
was a big fan of that. And Charlie bit my finger. That's the one.
That was one of the pornos.
with one or two words different. I don't know which ones, but one or two of the words were slightly different. All right. There's a huge show today. One of the guests that we have on, I can't wait to meet this guy, Matt Stutzman. He calls himself the Armless Archer. He is, without a doubt, one of the greatest archers in the world right now. He has this uncanny ability to hit targets from long ways off. And as the name would imply, he is without arms.
See, that amazes me.
Yeah.
Did you take archery?
Yeah. In
high school.
I don't know if your high school did this, but there was one 12-week period where you played a bunch of sports for a week.
Including fencing. That was one of them as well at our high school.
Yeah.
And archery, I really enjoyed it. I mean, you had to pull the string back while holding the bow, and I'll never forget, you had to kind of hold it against your face where your ear is and just kind of let go. You had to master it,
right.
And it was really fun, but it's really hard to hit the target,
yeah,
the bullseye rather.
Why, for some reason, I remember hurting either my thumb or fingers several times.
Paper cut?
No, not paper cuts this time.
String cut?
Yeah. No, but there was something about you had to pluck it just the right way or your fingers would kind of get hit by the strings.
That's why they just told us you'd hold it back and you just kind of release your fingers.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't. You really had to kind of maintain some kind of stiffness in your hand, and there was also like a shin guard that you wore. No, excuse me, what is that?
This part of your arm?
It's the arm shin.
Your arm shin, it's called.
A forearm guard.
Yeah, forearm guard or arm shin. That's what it's referred to as, technically. Doctors told me that. Right.
It was fun though, but it was hard to get a bullseye. I could get all around it, but imagine the precision that this guy has.
It made me appreciate, you know, that scene in every Robin Hood movie you've ever seen where somebody hits the bullseye and then the next arrow goes through that arrow and then the next one goes through that arrow.
That's mainly cartoons.
Yeah, it's in cartoons. I can't tell the difference between cartoons and real life, obviously, but it made me appreciate those scenes, whether they're animated or not. Because I, like, in all the times I shot, I think I hit the target, not just the I don't mean the bullseye. That's impossible. I may have hit it once or twice out of 50 shots or 60 shots.
That's pretty difficult.
And then, like, in gym class, there'd be other kids frolicking around, like, near the targets.
You had a bad school because we couldn't have anyone. They had to be behind us, obviously, because arrows were flying.
Right. No, our school was not that careful with that sort of thing. I don't know why. You'd think that would be number one priority, but it wasn't. So we will meet him, Matt Stutzman, the Armless Archer. That's at 11:05, and a whole lot of other stuff. Glad you're here. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Steve. Steve Bertrand, it's Bill. It's Wendy. Nice to meet you. I don't know if you have gotten a flu shot yet, Steve. Have you?
No.
You want to come down and get one?
On my way.
I got to tell you, each and every year, we think about getting a flu shot, everyone except Bill, because he's a baby. So in the studio with us
I should deny that, but you're right, I am.
Well, all right, here's the thing. Dr. Marielle Frachone, a medical director for the Chicago Department of Public Health Immunization Program, is in the studio with us. Hello, Dr. Frachone.
Hi, how are you?
Welcome back.
Thank you.
You know Bill's fear of needles.
I'm
yes,
scared
I do.
Of them. Yeah.
And you know that Bill used the nasal flu spray for several years, but once you hit 50, I think you're too old for that, correct?
Yeah, I think after 10, you're too old for
Shouldn't
that.
Shouldn't they extend that? After 10? Shouldn't they extend that forever? Because it's the same stuff that's going into your arm. It's just going into your nose.
It is. They just found that it doesn't work as
well. Oh.
That's why they stopped doing it.
Oh, all right.
Now, there are mixed emotions on a flu shot. Some people refuse to get a lot of immunizations, which you've got to get immunized. You have to.
Yep.
I don't want your kids going to school with my kids if you're not immunized. But flu shot, people say, oh my God, I've had the flu before. I'm not going to die from it. Most healthy people are not going to die from the flu. Mm-hmm. But people who have their immune system compromised, exactly. The elderly.
Pregnant women.
See, now that
children
was...
under the age of 5. It's and then, yeah, infants under the age of 6 months can't get vaccinated at all.
Oh, that's true.
So what do you do to protect them? Is there some backup plan?
Great question.
Put them in a bubble.
You vaccinate everyone else around them.
Oh, is that how you do it?
Yeah, that's the best way. Yeah. That's why I feel so strongly about this, especially because I have a 4-month-old at home who I can't vaccinate right now.
Oh, that's frustrating.
So I want to make sure every person in the city gets their flu shot so that they don't spread it, because you can be contagious 2 days before you even get symptoms.
Really?
So you don't know that you have flu yet, and you're shaking people's hands and you're hugging them. And it can spread really quickly.
I get a flu shot every year. There was 1 year I didn't get it, and I have to be honest with you, I got the flu. And it wasn't a nightmare, but, I mean, it takes you out for a full week. You're in bed. Mm-hmm. You have a fever. You feel like death warmed over.
Yeah.
It's not just a bad cold, is
it? Exactly. Exactly, and it puts a lot of people in the hospital, too. Like you said, if you have a heart condition or lung condition or asthma, it can be very serious.
Should we stop shaking hands during flu season?
You should never shake hands.
Actually...
Howie Mandel is right, isn't he? He knows what he's doing.
Actually, that is evidence-based, is during bad flu seasons, we actually recommend you stop shaking hands, because that is a big way of spreading flu, because people don't wash their hands very well.
What about the high five?
That's where the pound started. Did you know that?
Is that right? Is that true? All right.
Yeah, in the infectious disease world, we actually like that a lot.
Oh,
the what?
The pound.
Oh, the fist bump
the
or something
bumped,
like that?
Yeah.
See, and here's the weird thing, and please dispute this or corroborate it. I'm not sure what you want to do. But I have read that in studies, you could have like two teenage kids making out, but two teenage kids shaking hands, and the ones shaking hands are more apt to get the flu. Is that true?
Well, that's very interesting. I've never heard that.
That's an experiment they did at Wendy's house.
Shut up.
Saliva is going to have more flu virus in it than something on your hand. So I would actually say that the saliva.
So it's disputed.
Yeah.
Yes. So
stop making out with strangers,
Shut
Wendy.
Up. It was a study.
All right.
I got it backed by financial planners.
All right. Then it's okay.
All right. So I have also heard that some years the flu vaccine, which you can explain how they come up with that year's flu vaccine, because every year it's different.
Sure.
There was 1 year that they thought it wasn't going to be as effective as they wanted it to. Mm-hmm. How are we looking for this year?
So this year we have two influenza A viruses in the vaccine, and either one or two influenza B viruses, because there's a 3-valent, what they call it, flu vaccine, and a 4-valent on the market. The one you're getting today has the 4 strains in it.
It's one better.
It is one better. Yeah. So just in case that influenza B virus is circulating, you'll be protected.
But how do they know this before the season?
Like, mm-hmm. That's a great question.
I don't understand how they'd figure that out prior.
Yeah. So the Southern Hemisphere has their flu season before us, and oftentimes we'll look at what they put in their vaccine and what strains were circulating down there, and then the CDC chooses based off that.
Are they ever just completely wrong?
So they can be, and unfortunately, flu viruses can change during the season, so that season you're talking about 2 years ago, there was a... It was called an H3N2 virus, and it changed during the season from what was in the vaccine. And so even if you got your vaccine, it wasn't covering you. But can I make one small
Please.
Point? This year, that piece of the vaccine is actually better because of the way they manufactured it. So every year they try to make the vaccine better and better. And this year they're hoping that even if the virus changes, that part, that H3N2 part, will protect you.
Do they take some part of last year's vaccine? I guess like what they do with sourdough bread. Do they do the same sourdough bread procedure with flu vaccines?
These are very good questions. So this virus, they can culture in the lab.
Uh-huh.
And so they do have other samples of it, but they use new every year too. Make the new vaccines.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Dr. Marielle Frashone in the studio, medical director for the Chicago Department of Public Health Immunization Program. Now, we always hear you should get your flu shot in October.
Right.
Okay. We're in November. Is it too late?
It's not too late. So in the city of Chicago, we've been seeing later flu seasons in general. And so to be absolutely sure that you get protected before the flu season starts, we say by the end of October. But for us, flu season doesn't really start kicking in until January or February. But we have a bunch of our flu clinic sites throughout the middle of December. And so that should, because it takes 2 weeks for it to work. So if you get them at any of our flu clinic site, you really should be protected by the peak that we usually see in Chicago.
And for people, is it an expensive thing? Are there ways we can get a reduction in our flu shot cost?
So if you come to any of the city clinics, it's for no out-of-pocket cost, whether you have insurance or not. So I would definitely take advantage. And this Saturday, we're having a big event. It's our family flu shot clinic, and we're doing some new sites. So we're doing two city colleges, Wright College and Daly College, and then also the Whole Foods in Englewood is a new site. So we're going to have our mobile caravan there giving flu shots, and the Chicago Park District is going to be there doing wellness demonstrations. And they were great this year. They collaborated with us, and they're giving out flu, for every flu shot that you get 200 park points.
And what are those used for? Through the park district?
Yes, you can get rewards. They have a reward store, so you can get passes to the aquarium or sign up for gym memberships.
Very nice. That's great.
Yeah, so if the whole family gets vaccinated, you get a bunch of points.
A website that we go to find out about this event on Saturday and the clinics, where do we go?
So go to cityofchicago.org/health, and then under featured campaigns, you click influenza, and you'll be able to see it.
How is it possible that this costs nothing? Everything always costs something. Who's picking up the tab on this?
Well, the alderman and the commissioner of the health department think that it's so important that everyone gets vaccinated in the city that the city pays for these flu shots to offer.
All right. I have teenage boys who still go to their pediatrician. Mm-hmm. And my 18-year-old, I said, you know, do you want to get a real doctor? Not that a pediatrician isn't, but I said, you're an adult now. And he said, no, I'm good going. I've been going to her since I've been a baby. And I've heard our doctor said they can go till they're 21. Is that true?
Well, it's different for every pediatrician, but usually we see kids up until the age of 18. But there are some specialties that we'll see older children as well. And children have a lot of the same problems as adults sometimes, surprisingly.
Well, here's my question. The pediatrician frequently says, and it's not actually her, it's the when you call to schedule an appointment, I said, what's the difference if I go get a flu shot at your office or if I go to Walgreens or CVS or whoever else is offering it? And they said, no, ours is better. Isn't it kind of all the same?
I would say that maybe the people who are there are giving it to you are better trained.
Maybe that's true.
Yeah,
but
probably.
It's the same ingredients.
It's the same product. Yeah. Usually it's the same product. But there are a lot of different vaccines on the market. As long as they're FDA approved, they're all good. If you're over the age of 65, we do recommend that you get a high dose flu shot.
Oh, really?
But if you're at the doctor's office and they don't have one, CDC recommends you get any of them. But there are differences.
With vaccinations, oftentimes, if not all times, part of the illness is inside the vaccine because you're building up an immunity to it. Mm-hmm. So will you expect that there's a day or two where people feel a little sluggish after this?
Right. So the flu shot is in an inactivated virus. Mm-hmm. So it's a piece of the virus that is weakened and dead. And so, but it creates an immune response, and that immune response that your body creates can make you feel tired.
Yeah,
can give you a little bit of a low grade fever.
Just for a day or two.
For a day or two. Okay. Yeah.
Although I got to admit, my arm really hurts afterwards. Why is that?
Is it a wallop?
Is it packing a wallop?
Your muscle will ache because that good immune protection that's getting injected, your body has to process it. So your muscle aches for a few days.
And how come you don't give shots in the butt anymore? She will never come back. Dr. Frashona's done. I mean, as a little kid, we always got it in the butt.
You could absolutely ask for a doctor to do that for you,
Bill,
if that's what you want.
That wasn't a doctor. That guy was just dressed for Halloween. I'm not falling for that again.
But are there benefits for getting it in the arm, just that it's easier?
It's just easier for adults, yeah.
Rather have a sore arm than a sore butt, I guess.
Sure.
We have to take a quick break, but before we do, Joan has been on hold. Joan, you have a question for Dr. Marielle Frashona, from the medical director with the Chicago Department of Health Immunization Program. What's your question, Joan?
Yes. Hi, doctor. Thanks for taking my call. What are the risks if someone on biologics get live vaccines, like if they're immunosuppressed and on immunosuppressant therapy with Crohn's disease and they get an MMR through their college when they didn't realize that they shouldn't have?
I don't understand any of this question, I'll have you know. MMR is measles, mumps, rubella vaccination.
Correct. And that's a live virus vaccine, like she said, which is different from the flu shot, which is in a dead and activated virus. So when you're not supposed to get a live vaccine when you have a weakened immune system. And if you get a flu shot, if you have a weakened immune system, it's not always a bad thing. If you have a very weakened immune system, we tell you not to get any vaccines. But sometimes it doesn't work as well, depending on what kind of immune problem you have. And so even like a child with cancer that's recovering from cancer mm-hmm. that can't get other vaccines, the flu shot might not work as well in them. And so that's another reason for everyone around that person to get vaccinated.
Joan, you should ask your doctor specifically to see if you're able to get a flu shot.
Okay.
Good luck to you. And can I just get out there that vaccinations are not anything that can cause autism, because that's been going on forever. And there are still people I see on Facebook that still keep showing things from websites where people, please check your facts. There is no link, is there, for vaccinations, and it does not cause autism.
There's plenty of evidence out there right now that vaccines have no link to autism, correct?
I just want people to know that. I think that's important. Quick break, and then Steve Bertrand wants to get a flu shot. Ryan Burrow is down here. Bill, come on.
No, I can't today.
When can you?
Today's not a good day. In the future.
All right. Dr. Marielle Frachone, and that website again for people who want to check out an event going on Saturday and for flu shots at no out-of-pocket cost, where do they go?
cityofchicago.org/health, and then click on influenza under the featured campaigns.
All right, quick break, and then we're going to come back and shoot them up.
Yep, that's what's happening. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, I am ready to get a flu shot. You know, the very brave Ryan Burrow is going first.
He's the bravest of the brave, Wendy, that Ryan Burrow.
Dr. Marielle Frachone, Medical Director with the Chicago Department of Public Health Immunization Program. You can go to cityofchicago.org and look for the events they have, walk-in immunization clinics. Again, Dr. Frachone said that it is no out-of-pocket.
Right.
I have to finish signing my life away.
Is this affected by the sweetened beverage tax, Wendy? Do we know? You have to pay a couple extra.
No.
It's not an extra 16 cents. All right.
I don't have a parent or guardian. That would be me.
I serve as your parent and guardian legally.
Oh, then I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
You have to fill out forms. Ryan Burrow is getting shot up right now.
You know, the last shot I had was after Hurricane Harvey. I had to get a tetanus shot.
Oh, right.
I remember
right
that.
Yeah, yeah, it was at a Kroger.
And you also got bit by a dog. Did you ever?
I did get bit by a dog. Yeah, maybe I should have gotten something for that,
you
too.
You should have. Why didn't you, Ryan?
I don't know. The foaming at the mouth kind of goes away after a while, you know?
Do you get a flu shot every year, Ryan?
I try.
Do your kids get flu shots?
Yeah, they do.
And have they ever gotten the flu even though they've had the flu shots? You can be honest.
I never know if it's the flu. I never know if it's the, you know.
Because kids always have runny noses.
Yeah, yeah, they're always got something going on.
Right. Right.
My wife's a teacher, too, so...
So she definitely gets
I'm basically protecting myself against them.
That's what happens, though, when kids go to daycare or kids start school. They do... There's so many... It's like a petri dish of all different things. Your buffet of germs.
Yeah. Now, so, Dr. Frachone is putting on gloves. Ryan's just here for a shot today. I want to make that clear. I don't know what else you had planned, but Ryan just wants a shot.
No, I'm an infectious disease doctor, I have to be perfect.
Should I have been concerned about the dog bite? Do you handle that at all? I got bit by a dog. Should I have gotten a tetanus shot? A rabies shot.
6 months ago, he was attacked by a dog.
Like a month and a half ago.
Oh.
Where was this?
By Concordia University. Oh, you mean where was I?
Where are you?
Oh, no. Yeah, where was the dog?
The dog? He was in Chicago. It had an owner who was walking in.
Did it have a rabies tag? Did you say, has this dog gotten the shots?
The dog was vaccinated.
I'm thinking it was, but I probably should have probed a little bit more on that.
But the Department of Health can help you with that.
Okay.
Oh, that's good news, Ryan.
I do enjoy when the moon is full now.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I never howled at it before.
Keep an eye on.
Now, which arm do you write with?
I write with the right, but I'd rather have it in the right if possible. I would, because I do a lot more typing than
Why is that, Ryan? If that's the one you use more.
When I'm sore, I like it to be in the one that I favor. I like to kind of fight it off.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know. That's
weird. I know. See, I did not wear... I have my Blackhawks jersey on, so I probably shouldn't take it off in front of the window, huh?
Yeah, well, it depends. I'll put a tip jar out in front, and we'll see how we do.
You said tip?
Yeah, I did. I did.
All right. Sorry, Dr. Marielle Frachon in the studio for the last time. We've embarrassed her many a times. All right. Ryan's getting his flu shot right now, swabbing the area.
Dave Bennett down here to do a play-by-play?
Alcohol. I can do it. Swabbing the arm with alcohol.
You're not nervous at all, right? A shot for you means nothing, right?
I think so.
Yeah, okay.
My arm already hurts.
I've never been able to watch people's reaction, though, while I'm getting it. Oh, look at that.
Wait till you see this.
That looks terrifying.
Did you feel it?
I don't think so.
It's over already?
Yeah.
Oh, that was fast.
Yeah, do you want me to do yours,
no.
too?
No. Oh, yeah, get a shot for me. I thought you meant you wanted to give me a shot.
Thank
no.
you.
All right, well, I need to go get mine. So, Bill, you have to do a play-by-play and talk.
All right.
Ryan, you can sit here if you want.
All right.
Oh, hold on. Get your park points.
Oh.
Get your park points, Ryan.
There you go.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You can take that to Arby's and get some sauce. You're welcome. All right. Wendy's moving in for the shot. And no apprehension at all on your behalf, right?
I get it.
None whatsoever. You're going
left
arm.
She's going left.
Yes. Yeah. My arm already hurts.
You haven't gotten the shot yet.
I know,
but
it's
taken
like
a needle out yet.
Pre-anticipatory
Do you
pain.
Like to watch it go in?
Yeah.
Watch the needle pierce into your
do
skin?
You?
I do.
What's wrong with you? You
I'd
can't
like
watch
to know
a horror
what's
movie,
happening.
But yeah,
I just right. don't like pop-outs. Pop-ins, I'm okay with.
What about Popeye? Do you like Popeye?
Yes.
All right, a new set of gloves for Wendy, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely.
What my gloves aren't
Ryan's
good enough for?
Germs.
Yeah. All right. Sure.
And for you, Wendy, she's wearing a first baseman's glove. I didn't expect that to happen. I don't know why you're doing that, but okay. Did Steve already get one?
No, he had to go back up and do.
Oh,
his.
He did. All right.
All right, I'm a little nervous. I just go in. There's a lot of prep work going on.
Yeah,
here.
There is. They're mixing a lot of solutions. There's one of those machines like in Frankenstein movies that goes. I don't know why they have that, but they do.
Ready.
All right, here goes.
Okay, actually, hold on.
See, here's the thing, though. She's got to turn her back to us, and she's doing left.
Oh, right.
We're going to see her back, so we'll actually be able to see her face. So.
The needle is in for approximately how long? 5 seconds? 10 seconds?
Oh, less than that.
Not even five seconds. All right. It'll be quick.
Should I get it in my butt?
That is a big needle.
Yes.
That is a big one. I don't know.
I've never seen a needle quite that size.
Look at that.
And that's in and
like
out.
Like a champ.
Can I just tell you, I didn't even feel it this time.
There you go.
Really? But the needles are different. Like the needles that they had when we were kids, it was made of some sort of a metal. And now they're plastic, aren't they? Are the needles plastic?
No.
Are they still metal?
Yeah.
Oh, then they lied to
Tyco
me.
Tyco or Fisher Price isn't making the real needles.
The last time I had one, they told me it was a plastic needle just to ease my fears.
Yeah, maybe they were playing with you.
Right. They also told me a teddy bear would give me the shot. And that didn't come true.
Will that help? Will you get it now?
Yeah, really? If a teddy bear gives me a shot.
I have to tell you, I've gotten a flu shot every year. And here's my sheet, by the way. You should pass that over.
I'll initial that.
I did not.
Guidance.
I truly, Dr. Frachon, I did not feel it at all.
Oh, wonderful.
So, you're good at it.
I mean,
you may still feel sore later, like you said.
I'm sure I will, but a lot of times I feel the needle going in. It depends where, I guess, in the muscle it hits you. But
right.
I swear to you, Bill, I didn't feel it at all.
I could tell. It was very, very fast.
So get one.
No, I can't. I wish I could, but I can't.
All right.
I don't remember the last time I had the flu, and I never get flu shots. Some people just don't get it, right?
I mean, do you know anyone who's a child or pregnant or over the age of 65?
Yes to all.
But you don't hang out with them?
No, but I know. I mean, I come in contact with them, but I don't spend most of my time with kids and old people. But, you know.
Yeah. Except, well, I always say, if you know anyone, if you go to work with anyone, if you live with anyone in those categories, you should get one.
Then you should get
one. And we touch all these buttons that everybody else touches, and
that's
you never
true.
Wash your hands when you're here at work.
Right.
You take a Silkwood shower when you get home. I know that.
Right. Chemical bath. Every
don't
day.
Don't you sleep in your Tom Brady
I do.
Chamber?
Yeah, I have a Tom Brady
that he
chamber.
Just rolled out? Yeah.
Yeah.
Jasmine, you have a really great question. The age in which people can start getting a flu shot is what to what?
6 months and above.
6 months and above. Mm-hmm. What do you say to people who go, and there's going to be a lot of things on Facebook today saying, who needs a flu shot? I've never had the flu. Right. What do you say to those people?
I say, you never know when it can be you.
Mm-hmm.
You never know who's walking around and has the flu, who you're shaking hands with.
I ask people before I shake hands with them.
Sharing a drink with.
what's going on with the nasal ones right now? Are they still doing those? Or are you still recommending those? Because I know those were in short supply for a while.
Right. So the studies show that they are less effective than the flu shot that you just got.
Okay.
So they stopped recommending
them. I know a lot of kids prefer that rather than the needle. Mm-hmm. They were doing that for the kids.
And they're actually trying to study that right now, whether there's going to be a difference in coverage In Oregon, actually, they just came out with a paper. It showed no difference in the vaccination rate, but they have to do more studies.
Oh. Right.
Can you get the flu from a paper cut? Because Bill has gotten two paper cuts
really
in the last
ones.
2 days. It's an open, it's your skin is open.
That's true.
The flu virus can crawl in.
I'll keep an eye on that.
It really, a lot of times it comes it's through the mouth and the nose when we're touching our face, when
we touch
a surface and then touch our face. That's...
Which everybody does. You touch your eye, you wipe your lips.
Right.
I'd get one if I were you. What if you die?
I'm not going to die.
From the flu.
I can't die.
I hope it doesn't happen because now I'll look really bad.
Or look really good because you tried to get him to do it.
Right.
That's true.
You'll be the savior.
Dr. Marielle Frachon, thank you so much for coming up. We have more people the newsroom. I believe Steve Bertrand's going to come down. Stephanie Menendez is here. You're filling out your form, Steph. You're getting a flu shot. You get one every year?
I do, yes. I do too. I get one every year.
Don't you think Bill should get one?
Bill, it'll go so fast.
I know.
You are adorable.
It goes even faster if I don't get one.
I'll give you candy.
You will?
You
All right, I'll get one.
Okay.
cityofchicago.org/health. Health, and you can find out all the locations. Again, it was mentioned that there is no cost out of pocket to get a flu shot at their various immunization clinics throughout the city of Chicago, and also a big event going on. Find out all that information. cityofchicago.org/health. I hope you don't get sick.
I hope I don't get
sick. My arm is killing me.
Of course it is. We'll take a quick break and then a lot more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Steve. I believe your flu shot is on the way up. Yes, he's away from the microphone, and Dr. Frachon is going up there to give Steve Bertrand a flu shot.
We'll keep him healthy, Wendy. Whatever it takes, we will keep Steve Bertrand healthy. In the studio with us right now, Matt Stutzman. Matt is better known as the Armless Archer. He's a top Paralympic silver medalist in archery, a professional motivational speaker, and great to finally meet you. I've heard nothing but good things about you.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
And you have a great personality because when you came in, you asked if you could get a flu shot. And then you said, where am I going to get it? But Bill already had you covered. They would give you one in the thigh.
I felt like that was a better question than asking to shake your hand.
But you come against this every day. Is people want to shake hands with you. You are without hands, so it presents a challenge.
Right. Actually, so I used to put my foot out.
Yeah.
It throws people off. So now I just lead with the shoulder and say, this is how I shake hands. And then I, you know, we'll make fun of them about how weak or strong the handshake was.
Oh,
something.
That's really funny.
Tell your backstory. You were born without arms.
Yep. Born without any arms in 1982. I'd like to say I was much cuter then because babies are always cuter.
You're still pretty cute. I'll give you that.
I'm blushing. Anyway, so I was adopted at 13 months old. My birth parents put me up for adoption because the doctor says it's going to be millions of dollars to raise me and teach me how to live and do stuff in this world, which isn't the case, actually. So at 13 months old, I was adopted by a family of seven, which is more than I can count. So I got to use my toes sometimes to remember. otherwise, I lived a normal life. My parents taught me how to basically adapt to the world instead of have the world adapt to me. And in fact, if you were to go into my house right now or look at my cars, there's nothing that would lead you to believe that a guy without arms lives there or drives these vehicles, besides maybe a picture on the wall.
Good.
Okay, I got to ask, you drive a car. How do you drive a car without arms?
So I use my right foot on the steering wheel, and then the left foot is the gas and the brake. In fact...
Oh, that's amazing.
Driving this way gets you out of tickets.
Does it?
Yeah. Oh, my God, what happens when you get pulled over?
I had one officer go, please put your hands where I can see them.
Oh,
and I said, I don't have any arms. Anyway, he let me go, so it was good.
I have a couple of questions. You said your adoptive parents helped you find your way. How did they know how to do it? Did they have any experience in dealing with a child without arms before?
No, it's funny because on the adoption paperwork, they said they didn't want to adopt somebody with a physical disability because they didn't know how they were going to handle the situation. It just, I showed up, they fell in love, mm-hmm. and they just decided to wing it and see what happens.
Matt, there's got to be... I know it's easy to say no, there isn't, but there's got to be at least a seed of resentment toward your birth parents for giving up on you so soon. I don't understand that, but what are your thoughts about that? Do you think about it at all? Or did you go back to try to find them and talk to them about it or not?
I met them one time, and they were very apologetic, but I am so happy with how my life turned out now. Yeah. I don't resent them at all. you know, my parents who adopted me are my parents.
Yeah.
And they guided me into this path of being able to try anything and motivate myself to never give up.
Yeah.
That I don't think necessarily that they might have, you know, my birth parents would have. So I'm super happy with how I am.
Yeah.
And don't resent nothing about it.
Good.
Well, I bet they feel bad, especially after meeting you, seeing what a wonderful guy you are. I mean, I'm sure they felt bad and they didn't think they could handle it. So
they apologize a lot. And I'm just like, it's okay. Like I'm really good with, you know, how everything turned out. Let's just have a friendship, a relationship outside of,
right.
of that.
How did school go for you? I mean, wasn't it difficult? I mean, there's bullying first and foremost, but I'm sure people weren't nice to you a lot.
I was picked on until my dad became the principal of the school.
Yay. Good so, score.
Nicely done.
I didn't have to worry about it after like third grade.
Yeah. Yeah. I know you're a motivational speaker. So when you come up against kids who have a disability or call it whatever you want, but things are different for these kids, what do you say to them to make them believe that there should be no limits?
Yeah. You know, one of the things about what I do is I do get the opportunity to go in and talk to kids. And when I just talk to them about my challenge, and most people can see what my challenge is. I don't have any arms, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't let that stop me from doing what I wanted to do with my life.
Yeah.
I shoot professional archery now, and I do it for a living. And if I can take a bow with no arms and compete in a sport professionally with what people said, there's no way you can do that, then I just tell them, then what's your excuse?
Right.
You know, like, surely you got something going on in your life that's rough, but you can work through it. I work through it. And if I can do it, you can do it.
Why'd you pick archery?
It's a sport that doesn't stereotype the athlete, actually. Basketball, you got to be super tall and dunk, and football, run really fast. And archery, it doesn't matter if you have arms or not. You can show up and step on the line against people that have arms and beat them at their game.
And you have beat them.
And I have beat them.
Have you or do you play other sports?
Before archery, I played semi-pro football.
Did you really?
I did. I was the kicker. My longest is like 45, 48
wow.
yards.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, but you don't get paid to do that.
Yeah.
So,
right.
What about balance
long.
Without having arms? I guess this is all you've known, so your balance is pretty good.
Yeah, I've knocked myself out a couple of times, but I've learned now to tuck and roll. So if I'm falling, I can just, for some reason, I'm like a cat. I just spin somehow, and I always land on my shoulder and roll. It's amazing.
The technique that you use to shoot an arrow, developed by you or developed by a coach who said this is probably your best way of doing it?
I actually Googled how to teach an armless guy how to shoot a bow.
Really?
Isn't the internet
yeah.
outstanding?
But at the time, because this was in 2009, there was
nothing
about
there.
It. Nope. And so I basically pretended my legs were my arms, and I would watch a guy with arms shoot, and I would, in my mind, mimic what he did.
Yeah.
So if he held the bow with his right arm, I held the bow with my right foot. And then by doing that, I was able to teach myself how to shoot.
So you hold the bow with your feet.
Mm-hmm.
How do you release the wire or whatever it's called, the string?
Right. I have a release aid that I designed that goes over my right shoulder, and that hooks to the string of the bow. So when I'm holding the bow with my right foot, I'm at full draw aiming. There's a little lever that goes on my chin, and then I just slowly push on it until the shot fires.
Do you have to have that apparatus approved so somebody can't say, well, that's not fair, he's using something to enhance his shot? Or was that just a given that you were allowed that from day one?
No, the division that I shoot in allows those type of devices.
They do.
So I fit totally within all the guidelines of all the archery tournaments I ever go to.
Bill and I were talking about taking archery in high school. Every 6 weeks or something, they'd
yeah.
go fencing, something unique that we've never done before. I loved archery. I wasn't very good at it, but you did get better with practice, you know, holding the string and just kind of releasing it. You're a Guinness Book of World Record holder for distance?
Correct.
Or accuracy?
Well, both.
Oh, my God.
That's great.
So I hold the Guinness World Record for the longest, most accurate archery shot ever. And I hit.
Oh, my God.
Hit a target at 310 yards.
Did you really?
Yeah.
What was the record prior to this?
230 or 200.
So you didn't just beat it.
Yeah.
You destroyed it.
Yeah.
Wow.
I wanted to set the bar high.
You did. Do you think anyone will ever top that? Will you ever top that?
I've actually hit 500 before.
500?
Yeah. But
why isn't that in the record book?
Well, because Guinness only allows you three attempts. Oh, wow. So for 310 yards, I hit it within three attempts. I hit on the second shot.
Yeah.
The 501 yards took me like 17 shots.
Oh.
But I know I'm capable of doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you just wait till the following year and you're going to try it again? Or
I'm going to wait till it's broken. Right?
Oh,
there's,
yeah,
no point in
beat
that. There's no point. What do you,
why break your own? That's
yeah,
stupid.
Exactly.
See, I don't have a brain sometimes.
No, that makes sense.
That's my disability.
Does somebody from Guinness have to witness this, or do you have to have somebody verify that everything was according to the plan, or how does that play out?
Yeah, Guinness showed up on site and made sure I fit, you know, fit all the regulations of the equipment and
yeah,
all that kind of stuff.
Wow, that's so impressive. Matt Stutzman is here. He is the Armless Archer. His website is his own name, mattstutzman.com. He's on Twitter, Armless Archer. At Armless Archer. We'll pick this up in just a little bit. If you want to jump in, we're 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Matt Stutzman is our guest. He is the Armless Archer, one of the top Paralympic silver medalists of all time. And a lot of the people you compete against aren't just Paralympians. You compete against people who have everything on their bodies.
Correct. Actually, yeah. Probably 90% of my tournaments are against able-bodied
yeah,
professionals.
And you don't do badly, do you? You do pretty well, don't you?
No, this year was a good year for me. I actually won the U.S. Nationals out of everybody in the whole United States.
That's outstanding.
So,
could you be in the Olympics, not the Paralympics, but the Olympics, if you set your mind to it?
Right now, they shoot a recurve bow and I shoot a compound bow.
Oh.
So unless they allow compounds in the actual Olympics, I can't. But once they allow that, I'm hoping I'm still in my prime because
yeah,
I'm making a run for it.
Yeah, good.
Can I tell you something? Hearing you say able-bodied, you're pretty able-bodied.
Yeah, I actually tell people there's only three things I can't do, and it's laundry, dishes, and...
I don't know if you can say the third one. I'm pretty sure you can't.
Well, so you use your feet for things we use our hands for. I'm going to go one step further here because is that how you write and stuff?
Absolutely.
See, that yeah, is just, do you paint? Do you do things like that?
I mean, I do everything. I work on cars when I'm not shooting my bow. Yeah, you name it, I do it.
You are completely able-bodied. Look at this.
Absolutely.
You're more handy than a lot
yeah,
of people with all their limbs.
We say footy.
And you're married? You have kids?
I got three boys.
Look at that.
Yeah, I actually say that you got mom's girly arms. Because
if you were born
with my arms, it would be much bigger.
You are a joy. Can I just tell you that? And such a talent.
Thank you.
Have any of the boys showed any interest in following in your footsteps?
I mean, they have bows and they shoot a little bit. But yeah, what intrigues me the most is they try to do stuff with their feet and they have hands.
Oh.
So I'm like, Alex, buddy, you're 5 years old. You should use your hands to eat cereal. And he's like, no, I'm doing it with my feet. And then he spills it everywhere. And then, yeah.
Were any of them Green Arrow for Halloween?
No, they were.
No, that's disappointing.
No. I didn't have a hand in that. Say,
no, of course not. Of course not. Talk about, you come from a very, very small town in Iowa, population about 200. What's the town?
Yeah, Stockport.
So when you walk around town, everyone knows you. You're the pride and joy of that town.
Yeah, when I want to mess with them, I put on some prosthetics. And then they're like, where did Matt go? Well, no, your face is like you're trying to comprehend.
No, because I'm wondering, do you wear prosthetics ever?
So the last time I wore prosthetics, I was like 7. And I wore them to show and tell because I thought it would be cool to be the only guy to take off his arms.
Oh,
no,
my God.
No one else could.
But there have been advances in prosthetics. I mean, we're used to seeing, you know, like bionic type arms and stuff, and we're not to that point. Mm-hmm. But they've made advances. Have
oh,
you
yeah,
considered it, or is it just not for you?
He'd have to relearn everything.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, someday in my life, I will probably have to have them.
Really?
Why do you say that?
Well, I use my legs for so much stuff. I mean, it's not meant... My legs aren't meant to be up by my face all the time.
Yeah.
So I'm just guessing at some point in my life when my hip gives out or when I get older, I will have to get them. And I'm not opposed to getting them, but I will not get them until I'm absolutely forced to get them. This is me, you know?
Yeah.
So,
it is.
Yeah.
Do you do yoga? Because I'm sure you're very limber.
I can still put my legs over my head, actually.
Can
but I don't.
Really?
But I don't do yoga. No.
What's the one thing you're able to do with your legs or your feet that amazes even you? Even you go, I can't believe I can do this, but I can do this.
Shoot a bow and arrow.
Yeah, that would be the one, right?
That's a pretty big one.
That's insanely
yeah,
good. Gina Davis, the actress, was an Olympian for archery. Did you ever get to meet her or see her shoot?
I have not.
I've only seen her on TV, but you know her from her work in movies and TV, sure. And she's got incredible accuracy. She's so good.
I'd have to critique her form a little.
Would you? Yeah.
She's using her arms. It's more accurate.
Right.
No.
Right. It's not fair. It's almost not fair.
What's next for you?
In February is the Super Bowl of all archery tournaments, and it's called the Las Vegas Festival. If you win, you get $100,000. If you shoot a 900. Then you get in the shoot-off. There's only like 7 guys in the world that have done it, essentially. I've shot 899 twice. So I was one point off of it.
Wait, how are you scored? When you say you missed by a point, what was missing?
So I'm shooting at 20 yards, and the target is the size of a quarter.
That's the bullseye?
That's the bullseye. I have to hit a quarter 90 times in a row. And if I hit it 90 times in a row, I get 900 points, which usually will win you the money. Well, twice now in the last 2 years, I've shot 899s. And I either missed my first arrow of the whole tournament or I missed the very last arrow of the tournament. And that's because if I did that, I'd be the first person with a physical disability to ever do that. And so I start thinking about it, like, oh my goodness, this is going to happen. And then bloop, I miss.
Yeah.
So this year I got my mind game right, and I'm hoping that this is the year for me.
So what do you have to do differently when you say you got your mind game right? What do you have to think about or not think about to be a little bit better?
For me, it's more like, in the past when I've missed, I've thought, oh my goodness, if I miss this bullseye, I don't win the money.
Yeah, right.
Well, now I'm like, I'm going to win this money.
Good.
Watch this. I'm going to show everybody how I can win this. And it's just that little mindset that makes you shoot positively versus defensively or offensively versus defensively.
We were just talking about this yesterday with Brent Sopel from the Blackhawks, that the actual team that's playing right now and played last night, which you were at the game. Mm-hmm. You saw the goals I missed.
I was amazing.
In the washroom. They were getting in their heads too much. They were thinking too much, and that screws you up. You just have to follow what you do. And if you stop thinking, you can get this 900.
Absolutely. I've literally seen guys come up and shoot against me like head to head and have watched them lose, but they were winning until the last arrow because like the announcer will come on and say something like, if he shoots a 9, he loses, a 10, he wins.
Yeah.
And the last thing everybody thinks about is if they think, please don't shoot a 9 because if I shoot a 9, I'm going to lose.
Yeah.
And then they shoot a 9 instead of thinking, I'm going to shoot this 10 and win. It's weird how it works.
You get into your own head.
You can easily get in your own head, yeah.
Is it a lot easier to shoot indoors because there's no wind to think about?
You can shoot more accurately, but my specialty is outdoors because I shoot really well in wind situations.
So you have to somehow calculate the wind and figure that into the equation of your shot.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Do you trust yourself to shoot an apple off of someone's head?
Yeah, actually.
Bill, you ready?
I trust myself. I can't trust like that you won't flinch.
Right. I would flinch.
Yeah.
You can trust that I would flinch.
Yeah. But the good news is if I did happen to hit you, I wouldn't get in trouble because I've heard that I don't leave fingerprints on arrows.
Oh, my God. Where's the rim shot? I should have had this for the whole interview. Someone has texted a question. Please ask the archer his draw length versus someone with arms. Is there a difference? And what does that mean, the length of the string?
Yeah, that's actually a great question. So my draw length is like 33 inches. Is from where the string comes all the way back to where I hold the bow with my foot. And so on an average person, it's like anywhere from 26 to 28 inches. So I actually have a little bit of a speed advantage because my arrows are, I'm able to pull the bow back further than somebody that has arms.
You are just an inspiration, and you're very funny.
Well, thank you.
You're very funny. And how do people get in touch with you if they need a motivational speaker? Because I'm telling you, you make me want to go climb a mountain or something after this.
I've jumped out of planes. That's fun.
Have you done that too?
I flapped my arms, but I still fell. Usually you can go on Facebook, The Armless Archer on Facebook, and you can send me a message there.
Matt, an honor to meet you. Keep up the good work. I hope you break any record that you shoot for, and I hope you you win all the money in Las Vegas.
In February.
I got my toes crossed. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely. Awesome. It's Matt Stutzman. He is the Armless Archer. Again, if you want to reach him or find out more, mattstutzman.com is his website, and you can find him on Twitter at Armless Archer. Back after this, it's Bill and Wendy on WGN. He knows.
knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
Bill, he's Dean.
He is Dean. You can debate it all day long, but you're going to lose because he is Dean. He's Dean Richards. Hi, Dean.
The Halloween version of that intro song is He Will Not Talk About Candy Corn.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Special edition version of that.
Hollow Dean.
That was on the album version of Ways to Intro Dean.
Was it a secret cut, one of those bonus secret cuts?
It was an Easter egg, Bill.
Oh, it was.
I love Easter eggs.
They're the best. They are the best. Dean, Hollywood is up in arms. You know,
no,
it started with Yes, it is.
Oh.
It is up
the
in arms.
The ball is dropping,
the
guys.
The ball is dropping.
In more ways than one.
Yes.
Oh, we have
so
to
true.
Go. We're
so
on
true.
Break.
Oh, we're out of time. all right, so Harvey Weinstein started this, but it sure didn't end with Harvey Weinstein. Brett Ratner, who is famous in Hollywood circles.
Director, producer.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of films. Right.
Kevin Spacey. Andy
right.
Dick.
Jeremy Piven was thrown in the mix. Yeah.
More and more names are every day.
Dustin Hoffman. That one shocked me.
Did you see the Adam Sandler thing? Adam Sandler was on the Graham Norton show in England, and he had this actress, Claire Foy, next to him. And every time Adam would talk, he'd put his hand on her leg, and it didn't play well. She wasn't happy about it. Emma Thompson was there. She wasn't happy about it.
It's extra icky now.
Yeah.
It may have been meant, you know, just simply as... You know, when you talk to someone, sometimes you'll, you know, tap their arm or something. Their leg is different, but it may have been, you know, very innocent. We don't know. But these days, especially, you know, it's just everything is, you know, being taken the wrong way. Right.
Absolutely.
Now. I should say everything's being taken more seriously. I shouldn't say in a bad way.
But there's a lot more scrutiny.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
All right, so let's go through what Kevin Spacey has had happen over the last couple of days. They announced immediately after the allegations were made against Kevin Spacey by this actor, Anthony Rapp. They said
From Juliet.
Yeah. They said that House of Cards will end. We're going to end it.
Right.
And then the next day they went in to start filming it, and they just stopped filming
it. Right?
Suspended production.
Yeah. Which, you know, they were about to end House of Cards anyway. I'm not sure that that's that grand of a gesture on the part of Netflix, because they were going to end the whole thing anyway.
But there was one more season planned, correct?
I thought the
end of this season was going to be the last.
But they
one.
Hadn't finished
wrong.
Filming it, right, Dean? They
no,
were still in the process.
No, they are not. So I don't know if they're just waiting for the, you know, the smoke to die down until they get back to it. It's clearly going to be a huge distraction right now.
Sure.
I assume if they're, you know, shooting final episodes of it, I assume that Kevin Spacey must somehow be involved in those final scenes.
Yeah.
You know, how do you deal with that on set right now?
Yeah.
Plus, I was reading a story this morning that said that Kevin Spacey has volunteered to go in for counseling and treatment.
Yeah.
You know.
But don't you have to do that at this point to show that you're apologetic and you didn't mean to do it?
You're acknowledging that you had a problem.
Right.
And that you're trying to make amends for it. Of course you do. And, or, you know, also, maybe he seriously realizes that he has got a problem and he needs to do something about it. You know, we should also say, while we're mentioning all of these names and all of the allegations of sexual assault, that these are allegations on the part of lots of people against these people who happen to be in the entertainment business. There have been many, many, many other stories in other industries as well. Not that it makes it right or better.
Right.
But the people who are involved, for whom the allegations have been made, have for the most part denied the allegations. Dustin Hoffman did say that this was something that happened in 1985. He deeply regrets what he's done. It doesn't define who he is. Kevin Spacey has said that he doesn't remember, you know, that it happened over 30 years ago. That he doesn't remember. It happening, but if it did, he regrets how it made the young actor feel.
Yeah,
you know. So some are acknowledging or saying that they can't remember, but Jeremy Piven has categorically denied it. Is also threatening a lawsuit you know, saying
to clear his name,
to clear his name, and
Brett Ratner too. By the way, Dean, yeah, he says he's going to sue the woman who accused him.
The Dustin Hoffman thing, though, if this is a one-time deal, would it have made any difference if he realized at the time it was inappropriate and said, you know, I am so sorry I acted like that. Please forgive me. It just makes me wonder if we're not going to hear more and more stories about Dustin. It seems like one comes up and then all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to.
If he's saying he's sorry now, why didn't he then?
I don't want to, you know, be apologist for any of these people or any of this behavior, because I just don't know how anyone treats somebody else like that and somehow thinks that it's okay.
Agreed.
That said, it was the early to middle 80s when there was, you know, that kind of behavior was a little more common, I think.
Not right, but more common.
Not definitely not right. Yeah. But, you know, it was it wasn't that uncommon for people to be extra flirty and extra aggressive and, you know, those all of that kind of behavior. It doesn't excuse it in any way. Again, I don't know how anybody thinks that that kind of aggressive sexual innuendo or behavior in any way is appropriate. But, you know, some people did.
Hollywood's already taken a hit where, you know, business is not booming like it used to be. What happens now? Does it go down even further?
Maybe. It's going to be interesting to see what else happens. There were some reports yesterday that there's an organization, sexual assault organization, anti-sexual assault organization, that is petitioning the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences to not have Casey Affleck present the award for Best Actress, as is traditional at the Academy Awards, where last year's winner presents the award to this year's winner of the opposite gender, because Casey Affleck has been accused of very aggressive behavior toward women, and this group is trying to get the Academy to break tradition and take Casey Affleck off this list of being a presenter of such a prestigious award, and especially
to a woman,
female actors.
Yeah.
What about taking his award away?
I don't know what the protocol is.
Didn't somebody just take Kevin Spacey's award away?
Yes, that's what I thought I read.
It was an honorary award that was going to be given to him
at the Emmys.
It was like the International Emmys. It was sort of like a career achievement award that they hadn't given him yet, but they were planning on giving it to him. It's either later on this year or early next year that they were going to do that, and they decided not to do that. I don't know if they can rescind somebody's award. Who has won for Best Actor.
He won for American Beauty, right?
He won.
And for Usual Suspects. I think he's got a supporting actor award and an actor award.
Kevin Spacey,
yeah.
But I'm talking about Casey.
Casey
Affleck, yeah, is the one that they're protesting this time. I don't know, Wendy. I don't know what the... I don't know that that's ever happened where they didn't like somebody's behavior and decided to take their Academy Award away from them.
So if you're Kevin Spacey, is this something that is reboundable, do you think? I know he's finished two movies that have not come out yet that are getting high praise, or were getting high praise, but you can't market a movie with a guy who's in the news every day for the things that he's either done or supposed to have done.
I think it depends on how he handles all that is going to happen over the next few months. You know, it's... I can't imagine being the studio that has to market a film starring Kevin Spacey or featuring Kevin Spacey. But if he goes through treatment and is fully apologetic and, you know, makes donations to sexual assault groups and, you know, but he pretty much bungled the whole apology.
He did, didn't he?
Because not only in saying that I don't remember this, but also in his response on social media, he has for the first time disclosed that he is, what he said was, for the first time publicly, he has chosen to live the life of a gay man, which has got a lot of gay groups really upset, because, you know, most people agree that being gay is not something you choose to do.
Yeah.
Oh, look, it's Thursday afternoon. I think I'll be gay for a little while.
Yeah.
Most people believe that it's something that you're born with. But he's making it sound as though he has now chosen to do this. So I don't know if he put that out there with the apology about the sexual assault as a distraction, but what it has wound up doing is compounding the problem, because now people he thought would be his allies in the LGBTQ community are really mad at him for his statement and the way that he put this. Plus, it was sort of Hollywood's, you know, worst known secret of, you know, Kevin Spacey being gay. Sort of everybody knew that.
Sure.
Nobody paid attention to it, except Seth MacFarlane in several episodes.
Yeah. And Billy Eichner in Desperate People would throw in a Kevin Spacey joke almost every episode.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I thought at first he was just saying, boy, I don't remember doing it. If I did and I was drunk, it's not acceptable. I could see where I do it because I am a gay man. That's what I thought at first. But had the person he went after wasn't 14 years old, that would have made all the difference.
Yeah, to me, that's the whole thing is, he's a 14-year-old child.
Yep.
It's whether you're gay or whether you're not gay, forcing yourself in a sexual manner on
inexcusable.
A child,
it is.
Sort of makes you a pedophile.
Awful. Yep. All right, Dean Richards is with us. We'll review what new movies. Dean will tell you what he thinks of the new movies that are coming out this weekend. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
He knows which movies make you back to Dean Richards, already in progress.
Already in progress. Dean, a new Thor movie is out. Thor Ragnarok.
Doesn't Ragnarok sound like something that should be in the Flintstones?
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Something that Stoney Curtis would have been part of.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So you have the Thor and the Hulk, kind of friends, kind of enemies, kind of both.
Exactly right. This is, Chris Hemsworth back as Thor in this latest Marvel Universe epic. That is a bunch of subplots in here, but I guess the main one is that Thor is trying to save his home planet from destruction, and there are several obstacles in the way. Some of them are some brand new characters that we haven't seen on the big screen in the Marvel Universe, and some are some old Avenger characters that we know, like the Hulk, for example.
Mm-hmm.
We have Mark Ruffalo as Bruce Banner.
I love him.
Back in this movie. And he's actually, he's really like a co-star more than, you know, just a cameo or side character, as you often see when other Marvel characters do little guest shots in the other movies. He's a fairly major part of this film. Tom Hiddleston is back as Loki, Thor's brother, in this movie as well. And several other characters that you'll recognize. Idris Elba is back again. It's it's everything that you would want a Marvel adventure to be, I guess, is the best way to put it. There's nothing groundbreaking in it. There's nothing earth-shattering in it. I was extremely entertained by the movie. I will just say this, and I'm not sure if this works in favor of the movie or against it. It is much more comedic than some of the previous Marvel solo films.
Yeah.
It's got that sort of Robert Downey Jr. Kind of smart alecky sense of humor about it. But the tone of the comedic tone of this movie is fairly relentless in this movie. It's a pretty consistent tone, which keeps it kind of light, and nobody's taking anything too seriously in the movie. It's nicely shot. It's nicely done. I think it's, sort of for all ages. It's violent for sure, but it's comic book violent.
Mm-hmm.
I think that all ages will like this one, and I gave it a Dean's List B.
Good. Glad to hear that. Bad Moms Christmas. What do you think of this one?
I hated it.
Oh, you did?
Oh, it looks so good.
Here's the thing. Did you see the first Bad Moms?
I didn't know there was a Bad Moms, so maybe I should watch that first.
Well, lucky for you, you don't really have to have seen the first Bad Moms in order to understand this one. If you're going to ask my opinion, it's because they're both stupid and both awful.
Okay, that's easy.
The stupidity stands on its own in both of these films. But a lot of people that I talk to really like the first Bad Moms movie. It's, it falls in line with this long line lately of raunchy female comedies, R-rated female comedies, where the language is raw and the
I've been doing that for years.
Behavior is raw. It is
Wendy invented that.
It's basically a Wendy Snyder biopic. really, not that I think you're a bad mom, but it's you have that. You sometimes have that edge.
Yeah.
But it's some people really liked it. So I think this one is just really me. This is just not my kind of movie. So I'm sure that if a bunch of moms, have four or five Cosmos before they go see this movie. They probably will enjoy it.
The drink, not the magazine, to be clear.
No, I meant the magazine.
Oh, the magazine? All right.
To have like sort of a book club with the magazine, discuss the articles.
Sure.
Try to pretend like you didn't go buy that Burt Reynolds issue 40 years ago or whenever that was.
Yep.
I just thought the movie was extremely formulaic. I thought that everything is predictable in this movie. It's the original three moms, Mila Kunis, Kristen Bell, and Catherine Hahn, each raunchier and wrong than the next. Their moms come to visit them for Christmas. Christine Baranski, Susan Sarandon, and Cheryl Hines. And just every single thing is super predictable here to me. So just for me personally, I can't do better than a Dean's List D.
That's all right. That's fair. And we only have a minute, but LBJ.
Best movie of the week.
Is it really? Yeah.
Best movie. I mean, for my kind of movie, I like dramas. I like stories. And this is a very compelling true story of our 36th president of the United States, Woody Harrelson, of all people, playing Lyndon Baines Johnson, with kind of a, telling the story of his career, his downfall as a result of the Vietnam War. But Woody Harrelson's performance here, expect an Oscar nomination out of this one. It really elevates this film. And I wound up giving this a Dean's List B+.
Did you ever think when Woody Harrelson played Woody on Cheers that he would play LBJ and we'd even hint at the idea of him winning an Oscar for it?
Right. I wouldn't even... if I was him, I wouldn't have even approached this.
Right.
Bryan Cranston just played LBJ on Broadway and in HBO and killed it.
You know who did else was good? Job. Do you remember Randy Quaid played him?
Randy Quaid did. There have been quite a few people, actually, interestingly, of all the characters that have been chosen. LBJ has been chosen several times, but I don't know if it's because Woody Harrelson's from Texas, like LBJ was.
Maybe
he brings a certain quality to it. But it was really good, and the likeness is close enough.
Movie of the week.
I thought it was really pretty good. I enjoyed it. It's only in a few theaters, but I think worth checking out if you're an LBJ fan. Who isn't?
Everybody loves LBJ.
Whee!
Dean, thank you so much. We hope you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you in a week.
Have a great weekend.
That's Dean Richards. We'll take a quick break. Wendy and I are headed to the stream. We'd love to have you there, or stick around here for the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's WGN.